It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Hello and welcome back to the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm Kip Adams at Dogs 24/7, and Georgia is 9-0. They took down Missouri 43-6 in a game that was never really much in doubt. There's a couple kind of big storylines here to touch on. Obviously, I guess the big one, you always got to start with the quarterback position, and two quarterbacks got into the game for Georgia. A lot of eyes were on the guy that got in second there, JT Daniels, returning to action, you know, for the first time since the Vandy game there. And you know, had some good throws in there. 7 of 11 passing for 82 yards, you know, threw a touchdown ball. Had some good zip on several of his passes. Had a really, really bad throw, one he'd like to have back. But getting back on the field and kind of getting back there and trying to get some of the rust off, I think, you know, Kirby Smart will tell you that was kind of the key with JT Daniels and his return from that lat injury. And, you know, the fans have been, you know, screaming for JT to get back on the field. That's what they wanted, and they got to see him. And now you get a little bit of maybe some insight into why maybe JT Daniels hadn't started yet. Still a little rusty in his return, but this is important for Georgia, getting JT Daniels back out there and on the field. I think now you can go ahead and work him into the lineup and get him more reps in the next 3 weeks as Georgia prepares for that SEC championship game. I think both quarterbacks had some throws that, you know, they probably would like back. Even the ones that Stetson Bennett had that had positive results, there were a couple there that he got, you know, kind of lucky. And I think it's a credit to Georgia's pass catchers that there was only one interception thrown in this game. And again, Georgia's pass catchers, I think, are the kind of the story of this game. You see that 11 different guys caught passes today for Georgia. That's a really impressive stat. And for Georgia fans, you had to love seeing Jermaine Burton out there and getting his, you know, his first catch since the Arkansas game back in October 2nd. And he had three outstanding catches and really should have had three touchdowns, three catches for 76 yards and the touchdown, you know, could have had more than one, but big plays from Jermaine Burton, seeing him get close to, you know, 100% a week after you saw Kyaris Jackson look like he's kind of close to 100%. Like we said, Georgia's getting healthy in that wide receiver room, and it paid dividends on Saturday. 20 catches for 337 yards from that group and three touchdowns. Just as we said on that pod on Friday, me and Jake, we called for this to be a big-time game on the ground, and Georgia was able to throw the ball against Missouri, you know, fairly well. The ground game had some ups and downs. I think the stats are a little misleading there. You know, the box score will show they averaged 5.1 carries per touch, 33 for 168, but you know, you got a Kyaris Jackson 37-yard run in there that's kind of boring that a little bit. You also had an Arian Smith 15-yard run as well. The running backs did not see a lot of air on Saturday, and then that's probably something that Kirby Smart will be addressing this week in practice with his offensive line. The offensive line, you know, continues to work some guys in there, some new faces in there, with Broderick Jones getting the start at left tackle. You also saw Amarius Mims play in there a little bit at right tackle. Warren McClendon went out with an injury. Well, Jake will be getting an update on you know, the severity of that. But you had some young guys in there at left and right tackle. You also saw Warren Erickson slide over there to center, give Cedric Van Pran a little bit of a breather, and also get some more snapping experience there. So moving some guys around there on the offensive line, still an area of improvement for Georgia moving forward. But overall on offense, you know, again, positive things to see here. You saw James Cook with a couple explosive plays. He had a 17-yard run there, had a nice catch as well. You know, would have been, you know, maybe the one of the more impressive catches of the day. Dejon Edwards, that 37-yard catch that he made, was not enough to get my player of the game. To get Jake's player of the game, but still an impressive catch by him. And then Kenny McIntosh, as I was going to say, not enough to get my player of the game, but he had a 31-yard catch that, you know, on a day of big plays in the passing game, you know, his may have been the most impressive, but not the one anyone's really going to be talking about overall, because Jermaine Burton, big plays, Ladd McConkey, another touchdown, Arian Smith doing what Arian Smith always does. I think he's only been targeted 8 times in his career so far at Georgia. He's got 5 catches for 188 yards and 3 touchdowns on those 8 targets. It's very efficient, and he may have just, you know, one skill set so far at Georgia, but he's very, very good at what he does. And at the end of the game there, another head coach calling timeout to try to get his team in the end zone. And what did Georgia's defense do? I mean, Georgia did not cover today, but, you know, that line was hitting close to 40 there on game day, 44 and a half. It's a very small window for Georgia to cover something like that, but Georgia's defense, you got to credit those guys. The second team was in there. You had the starters on the sidelines just cheering that defense on, and a goal line stand yet again to keep another team out of the end zone. Really, really impressive for Georgia's defense there, the second stringers, and that kind of shows you that mentality that this Georgia team has. I mean, kept Clemson out of the end zone, kept Vandy out of the end zone, kept Arkansas out of the end zone. And now, again, another SEC opponent unable to score an offensive touchdown against Georgia. I think that, you know, that's really, really impressive, and something that moving forward, getting these backups some experience, it's going to pay off for Georgia. And I think overall, you look at this Georgia defense and some of the younger players, that inside linebacker group, it's elite now with Chaney Tindall and Quay Walker, who both had outstanding games yet again. But Jamon Dumas Johnson, outstanding play from him there at the end, that goal line stand, multiple stops. Smile Munden had a good game as well. That room is in great hands now and in the future. Another outstanding game from Trevon Walker as well. He was in that backfield, and other than when Missouri was holding, the front seven was really, really tough to deal with. So overall, another strong performance by Georgia. I know a lot of people wanted Kirby to kind of go for a touchdown there instead of the field goal, especially gamblers. But I think, you know, getting Podlesny in there and allowing him to get another kick, get more confidence going into, you know, later in the season, Atlanta, potentially playoff games, could still pay off for Georgia. I thought that was the right move by Kirby to make sure his kicker knows that his head coach trusts him moving forward. Tennessee up next. I think overall, you look at this game, Georgia accomplished all of its goals, remains undefeated, seems like they remain relatively healthy as well. And so we're going to look, you know, again on Monday, Kirby Smart's presser, get the injury updates. But I think overall from this performance, there's really nothing you can really complain about if you're a Georgia fan. You wanted to see JT Daniels again. You got to see him out there. You're probably going to get to see more of him in the next 3 weeks, but now you've actually seen him. You know that he's going to be able to get reps in the coming weeks and try to see if he can get back to where he was at the beginning of the season. Stetson Bennett, again, another pretty strong performance for him. A couple throws that obviously, like I said, he'd like to have back, but also made some plays with his legs, extended some plays that kind of reminded you why Kirby Smart has so much faith in him as well. So overall, you got to like where Georgia stands, going into this home stretch. And now you have to really, really look and see if they get completely healthy in that pass catcher room. The potential for this offense is through the roof. And right now, I think that the key for Georgia is that offensive line, getting that unit to gel, getting the right five in there, and being able to open up some holes for Georgia in the ground game. That's the one area you really want this team to kind of to improve upon moving forward. Other than that, strong day for Georgia. And moving on to play Tennessee next week, a team that I think offensively – stacks up pretty well against Georgia. You know, I'm not going to say that I favor Tennessee early on, but I'm just saying the quarterback play at Tennessee has been probably the surprise of the Volunteers this season. And so that's going to be something really, we're really going to look at. I think it's going to be a good measuring stick for this Georgia secondary, a group that continues to improve every week. And I think today had several impressive plays early on against a very, very tall wide receiver corps from Missouri. So that's something we're going to be looking forward to next week. But for this edition of the Junkyard Dogcast, I'm Kip Adams. You guys take it easy.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.